The Lord again for salvation, thanking that we're able to testify this morning that we're still saved and sanctified and pressing on. We love the Lord and want to please Him and want to be a vessel unto honor. We recognize this morning that we're just an earthen vessel. Appreciated the song service this morning. Songs that we sang seem like it went along with the thought that the Lord has given us. Feel anointed of His Spirit this morning, and we desire your prayers that the Lord will anoint His Word. We want you to look past the vessel and consider the Word of the Lord. We appreciate the meeting that we have been in and the messages that we have heard, and feel like that we're all challenged to go forth and examine ourselves to consider if we're in the faith. You know, the devil is here and he's real and he's fighting and he's attacking the very source of our food. I sense that. We come to services, and sometimes some feel that it's a dry service. Sometimes it is. I'd like to tell how the Lord dealt with me about that. I was sitting in a service one time that I didn't feel the anointing on that service. And I was just grieving somewhat about it. And I was saying, Lord, why? I was questioning the Lord. He spoke this scripture to me, rejoice in the truth. Amen. Truth is going to be truth. No matter whether you and I feel that anointing or not, we can rejoice in the truth. If it's the word of the Lord, we can rejoice in it.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Another time, I was in a service similar. I had gone with such expectations that it was a great disappointment to me. Oh, saints, I want the anointing upon the services.
Amen.
So important that the Spirit bless our services. Amen. That it not only bless His Word, but it bless the song service as well. Oh, how important this is. Anyway, I was sitting in another service. And I'd gone with such expectations and such need, I felt, that this time I couldn't help but shed some tears. And again, I was saying, Lord, why? Why? I prayed. And the Lord spoke to me as plain as He has ever spoken to me. And He said, your redemption draws nigh. And I looked up that scripture because I hadn't thought of it in a long time. And I took my Bible and looked it up, and it says, look up. Now, you and I today, we need to start looking up and above what we think we're seeing. You see, the enemy is here. He wants to take away the word. He wants to hinder the word. He wants to hinder your food supply. That's not my message. I just felt impressed to say those things. I feel like that what we have heard in this meeting, whether you felt that it was on fire or whether it was dry, it could take you to heaven. And if you measure to it, I've had a burden on my heart because I see how the devil is working. And he's trying to slip things in on his people to feel that they are justified to talk about one another, to criticize one another, and still lift your hand in song, still claim to be saved. It makes me think of the scripture that says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Saints, if we deny the power of God to deliver us from an unruly tongue, we're just fit for the fire. It burdens me, and I don't want to be caught in that category. I don't want to be one of those that feels that I can go out and tell things on my brother or my sister and feel justified. Thank the Lord. I want you to pray for me. Ordinarily, I have my husband with me. And I appreciate my husband so much because
Amen.
He knows how the devil fights me, and he sees my secret life, and he prays for me the whole time I'm up here. So I don't have him here, so I'll look to Velda. Velda knows me too. I've shared a lot of my trials with Velda, so I'm just going to ask you all to pray that the Lord will bless His Word. And that we'll get something out of it. You know, I feel like that a minister gets up, oh, the Lord says, He chose the foolishness of preaching. And sometimes we look at it and it does seem so foolish. And yet this is ordained of God. This is the method that He has chosen. And I've thought about how that the Lord will deal with a vessel that He has chosen, and how important it is that we be chosen, that we not choose ourselves for something like this. I'll tell you, I couldn't stand up here if I'd chosen myself. But how important it is that we be in tune with the Lord and that we be seeking Him. I have to confess just a little something here before I start. I felt like the Lord had given me some of these thoughts earlier, last week. And being human as I am, my mind began to go in some other channels. And I couldn't make the thoughts come together. I thought, I must have missed it. And so I even have fasted some this week about it and was seeking the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and said, what you have in your mind, you can't preach with love. And I began to examine that, and I began to see that sometimes we can get up here with our own thoughts. But when we get down before the Lord and we say, Lord, just take all of that away and put in what you want.
Amen.
That's when we can be blessed of His Spirit. Thank the Lord. So the Lord took some of those thoughts away. I asked Him to purge that. Thank the Lord. And so I feel that I have what He has given me now. But it took some laboring before Him. So you pray for us. Rejoice in the truth. I trust that when you leave today that you will be able to say, I rejoice in the truth. We want the Word and we want the Spirit both. But we want the truth too.
Amen.
We want it in its fullness. We don't want it sugar-coated. And we don't want it watered down.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. And yet, sometimes we say some things that may cut. But if the Spirit has given it, it'll go out and heal the wound as it hits the person or the problem or whatever. Thank the Lord. So if you will turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter, we'll begin a portion of Scripture here. I am nervous, I admit it, and I want you to pray that the Lord will help me to be calm. Starting at the 17th verse. Speaking of Jesus, and He left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and He lodged there. Now in the morning, as He returned into the city, He hungered. And when He saw a fig tree in the way, He came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, thank the Lord that we have victory over mountains this morning.
Amen.
I appreciate, this is not my message either, but I appreciate all of the mountains that the Lord has delivered me from in my life. The Lord's been so good to us. Sometimes we come, the Lord gave me a message recently, which I preached in our congregation. And I felt like I couldn't preach that message. It was just seemed like it was more than what I could do. And He even, I reasoned with the Lord about it. You know, we're serving a reasonable God. We're able to reason with Him. Not that we want to reason Him out of truth, but He's able to help us to do what He calls us to do at the right time. Well, I reasoned with the Lord and I said, Lord, give me something else for right now. Let that be at another time. And the Lord did that. Thank the Lord. He allowed me to have another message and He put that one on hold. And He continued to work with me about it. And it became such a mountain to me. It was a mountain afterwards too. But the Lord delivered me from it. Oh, and then He brought to my mind the very first message that He gave me. And I doubt anyone in the congregation remembered it. It was probably like a little child getting up and talking. But He brought it to my mind. He said, I'm the God of the hills and the God of the valleys. And if you want to read about that, that's over in 1 Kings about the 20th chapter. We're serving a God today that's a God of the hills and He's a God of the valleys. Thank the Lord. So when we get down in the valley and we're looking at the mountain, He's able to deliver us from both. And he brought that message to my mind. I thought, I've thought about it since then, that's why He gave me that message the first time. He knew that I was going to be facing hills and valleys, and He wanted me to know He was still the God of both. Thank the Lord. But it says, if we have faith, that ye shall be able to not only do this, which He did, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, ye shall be removed, ye be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, it ye shall receive. Thank the Lord. The portion that I want us to concentrate on is in the 19th verse. And it says, when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and he found nothing upon it but leaves. Our burden this morning is that we have only leaves in our life and producing no fruit. It seems as though the trend of the meeting has been a lot along that line. We've heard a message on how valuable the soul is. We've heard a message on self. We've heard a message on attitudes. We've heard several messages in this particular meeting that would indicate to us that the Lord is trying to challenge His people, trying to cause His people to see they need to be producing fruit in their lives. He's coming around. He's checking our lives, and He's saying, is there only leaves in your life? Is it only leaves? Do you have something? I remember Brother Gossard, in his message the other day, he said, everyone turn your hands palm up. Palms up. Now imagine just four little shriveled grapes, and that's all you have to... raisins, I think you said. That's all you have to offer to the Lord. Jesus came upon this tree, this fig tree. The fig tree was by the wayside. Therefore, it was available to whoever passed by to eat the fruit off of it. And this tree already had full leaves. The fig tree sets on its fruit before it sets on the leaves. And in some parts of the world, in different types of fig trees, it will have two crops per year. I thought about that a little bit. The Lord would come by and he could look for two crops. That would be justification and sanctification in your life. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
In other parts of the world, a fig tree, it bears all year long. Then we could make the analogy of that His people should be bearing fruit all the time.
That's right.
There's not a set time of the year that you bear fruit. I thought about something that was said during this meeting about having a seasonal consecration and how important it is that we carry our consecration year-round. Thank the Lord. I've seen that same thing. And I have to tell you that I was that way myself. When I was younger, it seemed like camp meeting would come around. I'd get down before the Lord. I remember going to Monarch when I was young, And I just felt like I was on holy ground when I was there. And I think, oh, I could live for the Lord if we had camp meeting all year long. That's not how it is. We go to camp meeting, yes, and we make our consecrations, yes, and we see our needs in our life and all of those things, and the Lord begins to point them out to us. Then it's time for us to go back and produce some fruit, not just have leaves. It says he found nothing but leaves. Oh, how sad. I want to read that song. It was an impression to me. I believe it's 385. Nothing but leaves I've gathered. Yes, nothing but worthless leaves. Have you ever, and most of you probably have, got some trees in your yard? Comes the fall, all of those leaves fall off. They're worthless. The wind blows them around. They collect up into the corners by your house. And they get in all of the places that you don't want them to be, don't they? Well, let me tell you, leaves in your life is going to be in all of the places you don't want them to be. They're going to be a hindrance to your life. Have you ever had a pile of leaves collect? I have to tell on ourselves a little bit. On the east side of our house, I seldom walk over on that side of the house. And the other day I did. I was doing some trimming and we have some shrubs planted along the east side of the house. And there had been so many that it had totally killed one plant. Well, did you know that leaves in your life is going to choke out the Spirit. It's going to cause a portion of your life to die. Oh, how important it is that we have something else there besides leaves. Yet leaves was an important part. You see, Jesus was walking down and he looked upon this tree. He knew the tree was alive because it had leaves. But he also knew that it was at the time that it should have had some fruit. I believe I read that this was about 5 or 6 days before his crucifixion. And according to the season of where he was, there was should have been fruit on that tree. The Lord is coming by your house every day. Are you producing some fruit for me today? Or am I only going to find worthless leaves? Have mercy on us, Lord. Let us not justify ourselves in the way that we live, in the way that we think, in the way that we talk. When we come to services and we hear the word go forth, and maybe it touches a part of your life, and you feel a little guilty, but then you begin to look at somebody else that you think is just a little bit worse than me. Oh, Lord, help us. We are a body. We are the church of God. But we're not going to stand before the Lord as a body. You and I are going to stand before the Lord. Just me. Just you. It's going to be that fruit that you have in your turned up hands. That you're going to offer unto the Lord then. This is what I did with my life, Lord. Is it going to be leaves only? Oh, Lord, help us. We need the Lord to help us. It says, when the field of labor others bring golden sheaves, then in the day of judgment shall I be found with tares? What a serious thought. The scripture teaches us that among the church there's going to be wheat and there's going to be tares. And they're going to grow up together. One place there the apostles came in the parable. They said, shall we go out and take up these tares? And Jesus said, parable says, no, let them grow together. How important it is that you and I know we're wheat, that we're not one of these tares that's worth only for the burning. These leaves that are in your life, they're going to be for only the burning. Yeah. That's just waste. It's a waste in our lives. Nothing but leaves I've gathered. So sad. So sad, but alas, 'tis true. What I have done, I never, never more can undo. We're passing this way only one time. We don't get second chances. Now, I think it was mentioned in this meeting, we're glad the Lord is a God of second chances. Yes, along your way, you have chance after chance. Opportunity after opportunity to turn from the direction that you're going. Even if you're saying, I'm a saint of God, and it's in name only, and the Lord knows that you're not living to everything that His Word says for us to do, He's given you chance after chance after chance, but you cannot go back. You can't say, I'm sorry I acted that way. I wish I hadn't said those things. You can't go back and take them back. Alas, what we do is never able to be undone. All that we can do is plead the blood to cover those things. Thank the Lord. How important it is that we be sure of our salvation. That we be sure we're standing before the Lord with something more than just leaves.
Yes, amen.
Thank the Lord. Nothing but leaves. Then in the day of judgment shall I be found with tares, when God rewards the faithful, reaping for future burning the thorns and briars I've sown. Surely we'll reap what we have sown.
Yes.
Galatians, what?
That's all we have to reap.
That's all we have to reap. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not going to be mocked by the fact that you're not living to everything that the Lord says in His Word. That you're living one way in your secret life. Coming to services, we come to services here and we all sit together. And we all sing the same songs. And maybe there are some that will say, amen, praise the Lord. And maybe they'll raise their hand in song. And that's the life that we're seeing right here. But we all go home, too. And what kind of life are we living at home? Is it a life that's full of leaves? Is it a life that is gossiping on the phone? Are we talking to one another and criticizing one another? And then we come to services and we treat that person so good. Someone said something to me about a certain person, and they said, do you think that person is two-faced? And I couldn't answer, or wouldn't. Lord, have mercy on us that we're not two-faced people, that we're not living one way away from the services and coming here and professing. I believe another thing that was brought out in this meeting is having the product of what we're professing.
Yeah.
Let it be more than just coming and warming the bench and lifting our hand in song.
Amen.
Let it be fruit that will produce, that will promote His cause, not my cause. Well, I just can't have confidence in that minister. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
I find it very serious when people feel that they have the right and the privilege, if you want to put it that way, to criticize a minister, someone that is chosen from the Lord. I think about David over there. Every time I hear anyone criticize a minister, I think about David.
Mm-hmm.
And how that he wouldn't touch Saul's life and even repented for having even cut the hem of his skirt. Very minor thing, I would think, considering the fact that he was being sought after his own life by Saul. How much more so you and me? We need to be so careful with our word. Have we got leaves in our life? These words that we're saying to one another, I want to tell you, they're leaves in your life. And they will be subject to the burning. Lord, help us. He that soweth to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. The Lord has victory for a person that talks. I know the Lord has victory. For a person that criticizes, He has victory for those things. Thank the Lord. If He didn't, I wouldn't stand up here. And the other ministers wouldn't either. But He has victory over those things. He has power. Remember, we're denying the power of God to help us overcome these things. We're all human. Yes, we're all human. And we look at one another too. We can't help but look at one another. We see each other and we hear the things that they say. And sometimes when things are said and it ruffles our little nest, It hurts. I'll have to testify a little bit here. One time a brother in our congregation was preaching, and he was preaching against ruffles. And this is back when several of us had little tiny ruffles. I had taken a long time before I started putting that on, but I had started looking around, and I saw that others were doing it, and I justified myself in it. And I was a Sunday school teacher. And he mentioned Sunday school teachers and ruffles. And I sat there, and to tell you the truth, I felt I was slapped in my face. And sometimes we all feel that way. And I sort of slipped out the back door when it was the service was over, and I crawled into the back seat of the car. Sarah and Lauren Vance was in the front seat, and I was just feeling so sorry for myself. And the devil was just going along with me right beside me and saying, who was he to have a right to talk like that? His own wife does it. You ever heard that? Lord, help us. Ministers need to be first partakers of the fruit.
Amen.
And I want to say their wives should be too, or their husbands, whichever the case.
Amen.
Oh, this is important, that the ministers be living to what they're preaching, and that their households be in subjection to that as well.
Amen.
There needs to be a consecration among the companions of the ministers to be equal to the consecration of the minister.
All right, now.
Oh, this is a lack. I see it. You're maybe saying to me, who are you? You've only been preaching 2 years. Let the zeal of the Lord perform it. You're just being zealous. I am. I want to be zealous for the Lord. I want to be zealous for the truth. If we have companions that are not whole, true, supporting the word of the Lord, backing it all the way, living it in every sense of the word, it's a hindrance to that companion that is preaching.
Amen.
Oh, if you'll let me drop my thought a little bit about the ruffles, I'll continue telling you something else. When the Lord called me to the ministry, I've testified some about that. But I also felt, after I had made the consecration to preach and be called a woman preacher, I thought it couldn't be called that, but I had a message, and I headed to Boley. And all the way down to Boley, I said, Lord, you put a block in my path if this is not your will. And got down there, and the Lord did just that. Put a block. See, I didn't tell Lauren Vance. As a matter of fact, I hadn't really even told him that I had consecrated to the ministry. I wasn't aware that he knew the Lord was calling me. I tried to hide it, to be truthful. And so all the way back then, I was saying, Lord, why did you put a block in my path? Here I am consecrated. I'm ready to do it. The Lord spoke to me and said, you must not take the pulpit until Lauren Vance is consecrated to the ministry.
Amen.
And I never told him. This is the part that has been impressive to me. I never told him. I never said, honey, you better hurry and consecrate to it because now I've got a message. I didn't do that. I prayed. That was in August. Around October, the Lord had dealt with him about it. And he came in one day and he said, honey, if the Lord calls you away from here, he said, I'm ready to go. And that's the kind of consecration he's had with it. Well, I never thought I'd be called away. But maybe that was what he had to consecrate to.
Amen.
I appreciate it so much. But this is what's so important for a minister. That their companion be equally consecrated to the work.
Amen.
That companion live as holy and pure before the community even. If it's a man,
Amen.
If it's a woman, let their business dealings Just be pure.
Amen.
It's a reproach to the cause of God if it's anything else. It's a reproach. And there's a lack. I see a lack. There's a lack in ministers' wives that are qualified to come down and pray with the women that come to the altar. There's a lack there. But let me tell you, the Lord can qualify others. The Lord can qualify, and if those refuse to be qualified, then He can qualify some others that are holy women for God. Thank the Lord. So the challenge I want to say to you today, if you're not a minister's wife, get down before the Lord. Seek after His Spirit. Get a hold of His Word in your private life. He can use you even at the altar. Thank the Lord. Well, back to my ruffles. I was riding along and more or less pouting. Heard something about pouting this week too. And justifying myself. Don't justify yourself on anything unless it's with the Word.
Amen.
That's the only thing you can justify yourself with and be justified.
That's true.
So I was going along and the Lord then spoke to me. And the Lord said, "Why do you want the ruffles?" And it shocked me. And I said, "Well, Lord," I was just talking to Him. And I said, "Well, Lord, I just feel so feminine with them." And He began to deal with me. I still remember the corner where we were when I said, "Lord, I give it up."
Amen.
Thank the Lord. I went home that night. And I said, "Poor mess, I can't wear this. Can't wear this." And the Lord's blessed me in it. Listen, when the Lord lays His finger on your life, on something in your life, He'll give you the grace to do it.
Yes, He will.
You know, we each want maybe try to straighten each other out. And maybe we go and tell each other, "You need to not wear this," or "You need to not do that." But oh, how much easier it is to obey when it's the Lord.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord this morning for His Spirit and the way that He leads us.
Right.
And the way that He teaches us. We're talking today about leaves. Having only leaves in your life. These things that are going to burn up. These things that are not going to allow you in at the gate. He's looking for fruit. He's passing by your life today. He's passing by right where you are. Do you only have unprofitable things in your life? Or have you got something that you can say, "Lord, this is what I'm doing with my life"? Works. Let's turn to James and read a scripture in James. You pray for us. We thank the Lord we have victory this morning. Have a few scriptures we want to read here. Verse starting at 14. "What doth it profit?" James, the second chapter, I'm sorry. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Well, it seems like it could, doesn't it? It takes faith to be saved. I mused about that scripture. I wondered, well, my, surely faith can save us. It takes faith in order for me to be saved. He's coming by looking for fruit.
Amen.
Not just leaves. He sees the tree was alive because it had green leaves on it. But He wants to see what's under those leaves. There can be some... Leaves are important for a fruit tree. You know that? We're not saying you don't need some leaves in your life, but don't just have leaves. How many of you... We have. We planted fruit trees. and you plant them for the purpose of getting fruit. You don't plant them for a shade tree. There's trees that are just for shade tree. But when you plant a fruit tree, you expect to get something off of it. And you have to wait a little while, you know, so that the tree will mature before it can produce some fruit. Let me interject right here that if you're young, that's the time of your life to be working on yourself, to be growing up spiritually, so that when it's the time for fruit, you see, Jesus knew it was the time for fruit when he passed by that tree. There's coming a time in each of our lives that's going to be a time for fruit. It's going to be the time when he's going to pass by and expect it. I remember in my own life, when I first got saved to stay saved, I was 30 years old. And Lauren Vance wasn't saved. And now I just went around with a lot of self-pity a big part of the time. And I just fought self-pity. I'd go to services and cry most of the way because he wasn't with me. Self-pity. It's wrong. And it'll destroy you. Well, one day, after I'd been saved a while and I knew I had grown a little bit, but the Lord spoke to me and said one time when I was in one of these little crying spells, he said, "It's time for you to grow up."
Amen.
Did you know that it's time for you to grow up? It's time for you to start producing things that are not childish spiritually. Oh, there is a space of time that the Lord gives the newborn child to be childish, to get out of order, to testify sometimes a little higher than what they're living. But he brings them to a point that he says, "Now it's time for you to live what you're testifying." If you're testifying you're free from sin, then live free from sin. If you're testifying to victory, then have victory.
Amen.
It's time for you to grow up. Did you know that was a shock to me? I thought, I'm an adult woman. But I knew, he said, it's time for you to grow up spiritually. Lay aside all these little petty crying. And all of these little things when you get your feelings so hurt. And you're so offended. You know, the scripture says about being offended, "He that loveth my law won't be offended."
Yeah.
If you're offended this morning, if you're subject to being offended at who is preached and what they say, then examine how much you love his law. There's where the secret is. If you love his law with your whole heart, then those things that come across the pulpit, though they may do what it did to me that time and make me a little huffy for a moment, then pretty soon the Spirit of the Lord will be coming in and saying, "Now wait a minute. Just calm down. That's the enemy. He's trying to set a snare for your feet. He's trying to take you away from that which is solid, from you being established."
Amen.
Don't you want to be established this morning?
Amen.
The scripture says over in the Old Testament, if you want to be established, believe the Lord.
That's right.
But yes, it says to believe his prophets. If you want to... what is that scripture? I just read it. If you want to be profitable, I think. If you find that, Angela, I'd like to quote it. We need to believe what we hear. And we need to consider what we hear. And not just let it run off and say, "That wasn't for me, that was for brother or sister." Now, why didn't they take that? You ever heard that? Oh, that was a perfect message for them. We're talking about leaves this morning and no fruit. This is a perfect way to have no fruit in your life and have only leaves. Is to feel it's for somebody else. Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Back to the second chapter of James. We're going to read verse 17. We're still talking about works and faith. "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Faith and works work together. We start out with faith. We're a child. But then he's expecting some works. He's expecting some fruit. Thank the Lord. Drop down to the 23rd verse. And it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness." Thank the Lord. He believed, and it was his righteousness. Verse 24. "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Jesus is passing by today. He may be visiting each one of you that are here in this room. And he's saying, "What have you done for me?" "Oh, well, I take care of my family. And I keep my house real clean. And I go to church every Sunday. And I go to church every time there's a service. And let's see, now what else do I do?" He that lives to himself will probably die to himself. You know, we can be very conscientious, and I'm not saying anyone here should not take care of the family. I'm not talking about that. That's a commandment from the Lord. That is the work of the Lord.
Amen.
For that time of your life. Teaching those children. Raising those children in truth. Not poisoning their minds against the saints. Thank the Lord. How important it is that we be so careful what we say in front of our children. That we not be saying things that are making them look sideways when a minister walks in. Oh, have mercy. I know this happens. I know that there are families among us that cannot refrain their tongue in front of their children. And their children grow up and feel the very same way. I thought about what Brother Austis pointed out this week in one of his messages. He said that his wife was with a certain party who was criticizing just minister after minister after minister. And you know what her answer was to him, to this person, I don't know if it's him or her. She said, "What if it was one of those ministers that the Lord would choose to save one of your children? Do you think they'd have any confidence to even stay in the service and listen?" How many times have we seen, I don't want to say I'm looking around and observing who gets up and goes out. The minister takes the pulpit, and sometimes you have an exodus.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
Amen.
You've seen it. I've seen it.
Yes.
And the children are watching.
Everybody's watching.
Everybody's watching. It has a bad effect in its only leaves. There's no fruit in that kind of an attitude toward a minister. Then again, how many times have you looked around and you've already heard that this individual has no confidence at all in that person, and you can see their jaw is just set? I've seen it. Saints, these should not be. Our children are also observing. Our young people are observing.
Amen.
They know when you don't have confidence in the person that is standing up there and what they're saying. Oh, Lord. Lord, deal with us. Deal with us in a manner that we can understand. Oh, have mercy on us. Faith and works. Works is to believe. Works is to bear a few things. I admit myself that there are times that the message is dry, that it doesn't seem to have any spirit in it. I admit that. But what's wrong with you staying in your seat and bearing a few things?
Praying for them.
Saying amen.
Saying amen.
Someone said to another party, not to myself, and they told me, and I don't have any reason to doubt what they said. They were questioning about being in a service, you know, with the spirit seemed to be lifted and not really anointed and all. And this person said to the other one, they said, Aren't you a Sunday school teacher?
Yeah.
Don't you lead the singing?
Yeah.
He said, you're in a leadership position. What? Song leaders and leaders?
Yes.
You need to be qualified to be a song leader. Qualified spiritually for the Lord to bless it. But you see those ministers, song leaders, Sunday school teachers, and I'm going to put it on down to the lay people. You need to learn to bear a few things. Rejoice in the truth. Seek the Lord during a message that doesn't seem like it's anointed. Say, Lord, help me. He'll give you something. Rejoice in the truth. The word that goes forth can cause us to rejoice because it's truth. It's not false, thank the Lord. Find something to rejoice. Someone said to me, not just one person, I've had several say this of late, and maybe you've had the same problem. I've had the problem. It's so hard to pray anymore. It's so hard to come to services and keep your mind on what is being said. How many of you have that problem? Don't raise your hand. I want to tell you, somebody that just looks half cross-eyed at the minister, the devil uses that. He puts a damper on what is being said and the freedom and the flow of what is of the Spirit. Just halfway looking like you're down or out about somebody. Oh, that's so hard. I've been there too. Works, faith, fruit, and leaves. Is he coming by you today? Anything, everything clear in your life? You feel like you don't have to repent of anything? Thank the Lord. Let us be more patient with one another. Let us be more forbearing in the services. Oh, the Lord has grace. He promised. We can't deny it. We're talking about having nothing but leaves. Brother Austin brought out yesterday also. He was preaching on the result of the Spirit in your life. What will come out of it? You know, the one person that needs to know what's coming out of that kind of a life is you. And if you are overriding, if you're ignoring all of the checks that the Lord puts in your life, you're on dangerous ground. You're in a terrible place. You're in a place for trouble.
That's right.
You know, there's going to come a time that you're going to want your prayers answered. There's going to come a time that trouble is going to come into your home. Sickness. And oh, you're going to be down before the Lord saying, Lord, help me now. And why aren't you coming to me now? Have you looked back over your life? Has there been some unforgiveness? Some picking? Some bad attitudes like's been brought out in this meeting? Lord, help us. Those are leaves. And they're subject for the burning. They're good for nothing but to be burned. They will decay. When the leaves fall off of the trees, and if you don't go out and rake them up before the next spring, what happens to them? They become rotten. And if there's too much rain, they stink. I want to tell you, sometime your leaves may stink to you. May become a stink in your very nostrils. And I'll tell you something else. It'll be a stink in the nostrils of God. He loves to come and smell in our assemblies.
Amen.
And He loves to smell the fragrance of your life. I believe that was brought out also. The fragrance of your life. He loves to smell that. Just as you do when you walk by a rose. Do you always, a rose or a carnation? That's the two things I love to smell the most. I can hardly walk by a carnation or a rose without stopping and smelling. Let there be fruit in your life. That the Lord, when He walks by, He can smell the fragrance of it going out, thank the Lord. And you won't have but rotten leaves. It'll be a stink in the nostrils of God. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for some works that's coordinating with your faith. Coordinating with your faith. Thank the Lord. So faith without works is dead. But you have to have the works too. It's a result of faith. It's a result of those things in your life. It's a result of the Holy Spirit being in your life. Thank the Lord. Nothing but leaves. Must hurry along. Lord, help us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. Very familiar scripture. Starting at the 12th verse. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. What are we building on this morning? Well, I got saved. And I got sanctified. Are you living to yourself? When it's time for work to be done at the chapel, where are you?
All right,
man. Oh, my. I'm burdened about that, too. I'm burdened because, and I recognize that there's a lot of older ones that are not able. But there's something you can do. You can pray for those that have strength that can do it. Lord, have mercy on us. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. What you're doing in your life is going to be revealed by fire. It's going to be tested by fire. Is it something that's going to burn up like leaves? Or is it going to be something that's going to be steadfast and sure, and it's going to endure the test of time and eternity? Oh, I get burdened about some things, even for myself, because we get to looking around and we see so much that needs to be done. And few workers. Few people that are even qualified. Why? Because they haven't gotten over these little petty things. When they should have got those consecrated and under the blood years ago. They should have been mature adults now and ready to do service. In the service. In the community. Well, Lord help us. It's going to be tested by fire. You know, I'm not against having little projects of crafts once in a while. I'm saying once in a while. We can get those things so consumed in our lives that that's just about all we want to do.
Amen.
And then, is it going to stand the test of time and eternity? When we stand before the Lord, is it going to be, well, Lord, I sure made a lot of crafts. Lord, help us. Now, I'm not preaching against the crafts and doing those things, but you can get those things so much a part of your life that you're not taking the time to read and pray. Someone said, I believe it was in a message. I listened to a message in 1979, December, preached right here. He said, if you purposed in your heart and life that tomorrow I'm going to read and pray more, just try it. What will happen? The devil will be there to oppose every step of the way.
That's right.
It's much easier to make crafts.
Yeah.
It's much easier to do the things you like to do. Listen, it's going to be leaves or it's going to be fruit when we stand before him. You know, the devil has used that against me sometimes, you know, saying, well, look at this one. They get to go shopping whenever they want to, and they get to do this, and they get to do that, and here you are. You're just going to school and working and coming home and working and studying for a message, and My life is full. I will testify about that. Sometimes I feel I don't have time to sleep. And there's been times the Lord has awakened me in the night and given me a message in the night. Thank the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. What about fasting? Oh, I'm just not able to fast. Did you know there's a lot of different kinds of fasting? It's not all just laying aside your food. You can lay aside other things for the Lord. He will honor it as much as the person that lays aside his food for days on end. Thank the Lord. It takes a consecration. It takes dying to self. We heard about self yesterday. Oh, self is an ugly person. Self wants his way. Self wants to be entertained. Self wants to be happy. He doesn't want to be put out. He doesn't want to be inconvenienced. You ready to get up in the middle of the night and pray when someone is sick? Oh, but I'm so sleepy. I'm just a sleepy head. I want to tell you something. Seek the Lord to take away that sleepy headedness. He'll do it. Well, I can't go back to sleep very easily. Seek the Lord to help you to go back to sleep when it's His time. I know, I'm talking about something He's taught me. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Your works are going to be tried by fire.
That's right.
Will it stand it? When you stand... You know, many times I have thought in our services when a message would be going forth, I would think, what if the Lord would just walk in that door back there and just stand at the door and look about us? What would it do to all of us? He is, but you know, we're human and we just get to thinking, oh, He's not really there. I don't see Him. He's there. But if He did come in person, if He walked in, and how many of us would rush to the altar? How many of us would... What? Yes, He is. He's looking in our heart. And He knows when we're short.
That's
He
right.
knows when you and I are not living to what we're saying. He knows it. We can't hide it from Him. We're talking about leaves that are going to perish one day, that are going to come to the test of the burning. Lord, have mercy on us. Our works are going to be shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Have mercy on us, Lord. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. We have a promise. You give your life to the Lord, you consecrate to His work, you do what He calls you to do. You do it faithfully without murmuring. Maybe I ought to tell on myself again. After I preached that message that I felt like I couldn't preach, I got in a battle. Deluxe. The devil fought me. I tell you, I felt like when I would get down to pray that I had my head right up against a black wall. Thank the Lord He brought me out.
Thank the Lord.
But I said something that I regretted. And I've repented of it over and over. I know the Lord has forgiven me, but I said in my haste, I'm sorry He called me. And I'm sorry I said it. I thank the Lord today that He called me. He may give me hard things to preach again, but let me tell you something. I learned a lesson in this. This is probably the first time. Thank you. I know He has grace. And I know I'm not going to be in the favor of all the people. I know that. He gave me His word that I would not be afraid of their faces. And I'm standing on that. And I want to follow Him and do everything that He has showed me to do. I need to hurry on. I'm sorry. I have too much here. I can't do it in 5 minutes. I don't know. We're talking about leaves this morning. Let me see if I can skip through some of this. Let's turn to Luke, the 13th chapter. We'll try to bring it to an end. Well, I don't want to hold you too long either. I realize there's a limit to how long people can listen.
Let the Lord lead.
13, we're going to talk about another fig tree. Verse 6. Jesus spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why encumber it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year. Mercy. Mercy. 3 years of waste, of nothing but leaves, long suffering. What if he had come the first year and said, Well, first year, let's just get rid of this right now. It probably never will bear fruit. You know, we have a fig tree at our house. We've been at our house 9 years. That fig tree is 9 years old. I suppose that we've gotten one or two or three figs off of it in 9 years. I'm ready to take it out too. It's not the right locality, I suppose, for it. Jesus is coming by your place today, and He's looking for fruit. Is He going to find fruit and leaves, or is He only going to find leaves? Has He been coming by for several years? Has He been looking in your life? Has He touched things in your life and you haven't measured on Him yet? He's been long-suffering with you. And this time He came by and looked at this one and He said, Just cut it down. Just take it out. Why even encumber the ground with this thing? But somebody else had mercy. Now wait a minute, Lord. Let me dig around this tree just a little bit more. Let me feed it. Let me water it. And it might produce fruit. And listen what it says. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. There's coming a time in yours and my life that if the Lord is coming around us year after year, putting His finger on the same thing year after year, and we fail to heed that thing, down in our heart, we knew it in the beginning. But year after year, it becomes less. We become less sensitive to that little prick. How important it is that we heed the prick the very first time around. Because in the third year, not literally speaking, we're not going to feel quite that keen guilt. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. And then maybe He'll send some things to dig around us. Maybe He'll send some hard things into our life. And maybe He'll even try to send some food out over the pulpit. I don't want to hear it. And He'll even give you some time even then. I'd like for us to turn back to Matthew, the 21st chapter where we started. And consider just one more point. Consider the point here where Jesus said, lamps no fruit. He pronounced a curse. It didn't end with the fact that I will not. Now you cannot. If the curse is pronounced, see, before I would not do any good, but now the curse is you shall not. This is serious. To live year after year after year, hearing the messages go forth, the warnings, you know what the scripture says? It says, warn the righteous that they sin not. Some are saying, we're just encamped. We're just here preaching to one another. Let me tell you, you better recognize the time that you're living in. It says that He has come to glean Israel. It doesn't say, I've come to glean the whole world. We're still after the missionary effort of the world, and we want to live our life out in the world that it will be pure and righteous and holy. We want our light to shine when we go out before people. But let me tell you, you need to recognize we're living on the verge of eternity. We're standing on the very brink of eternity. And in light of eternity, how do we know that the very horizon is not now burning with the light of the sun coming up? We're standing on the light, on the verge. What is the leaves going to profit you in your life if you don't heed what the Lord has said? Shake yourself and wake up. You are facing the judgment. You for yourself. Me for me. I'm going to stand before the Lord and be judged for the deeds done in your body. Attitudes. I can't get away from attitudes like Brother Austin can't. Yes, I dressed like a saint. I looked like a saint. I had my hair long. I did everything I was supposed to do. And down in the heart was leaves. Have mercy on us, Lord. In light of eternity, what will it matter? What will it matter in light of eternity? Someone said that here at a meeting one time, and it stayed with me. In light of eternity, what will this matter? I'll tell you, when we stand before the Lord to be judged, nothing will matter but that I be clear. But that I have the blood applied to my sins. That I be pure of all thoughts.
Amen.
Could someone turn to the scripture that gives the fruits of the Spirit? Lord, help us. Nothing but leaves. He's digging around you and me today. Please, He's saying, I'm giving you one more year. Help us, Lord. Do you have it, Carl?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and love. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Amen. Did you know that not one of these categories, love, joy, peace, we don't have to stand up here and say, let's get a dictionary and look all these up. We got to have a good definition to know what these mean. This is common language. This is language that even a child will understand. Love, joy, peace. What about long-suffering? Long-suffering with my brother. Have mercy on us, Lord. This is where so many people are going to go down. Well, how long is long suffering? What did the Lord say about the how many times we're to forgive in one day? Now that's long suffering. Have you had to do that yet? No. Not that many times. Gentleness. It's a common word. We know what it means to be gentle, don't we? We certainly know the opposite of gentleness, don't we? We're well familiar with the opposite of gentleness. That's to be harsh, cruel, cutting. Oh, how many of you love to be treated in that way? How many of you want gentleness? Then have it in your life. Let that be the fruit and the works, along with the leaves. Gentleness. Goodness. Do we have to look up that definition to find, oh, let's run this definition clear out? No, we know what it means to be good. Plain good. That's part of being in the Spirit. Faith. Meekness. Oh, do we have to look up that word? Do we know a meek person when we see them? Yes, we recognize the fruit of meekness. Temperance. Being balanced in all things. When I say I'm a saint of God, living it. Being balanced. Not saying one thing and living another. I believe that the tone of the whole meeting is that right there. To live what we're saying we're living. To have the goods on hand. To not be a hypocrite. Thank the Lord. I want you to pray for me. Think about what one minister said. I'm going to have to live what I've said up here. And I know that the devil opposes us anytime you take the pulpit. So you pray for me that I'll be able to fight the enemy also.